Paragraph base, ki koyach hamedame hu bechinas eitz hadas toivora, bechinas noiga, shehu lefomim nichlal betoiv hu lefomim lehefech. We know that what's called koyach hamedame, one example of it is the eitz hadas, which was a combination of toiv and ra, good and bad. And also we find in the Sifrei Kabbalah, they tell us that there are four klipos, three of them that are all bad. Number four, which is called Noiga, twilight, shehu lefa'omim nichlal batoiv ulefa'omim lehefech. Noiga sometimes merges in with good, with pure goodness, and sometimes, chas v'shalom, it goes the other way. It merges in with the full evil. Ki hu bechinas dimyoin, because this klipas noiga, this eitz hadas tovara, is dimyoin. It's a concept of imagination, fantasy. Or dimyoin also means similar. It's something that's similar. Similar to what? The answer is it can go either way. It could play a dual role. And to what a person compares himself to, that's what he becomes part of. What a person emulates, what a person tries to be similar to, he actually becomes part of that. So if people who are living in a secular environment and they're shopping in the same clothing stores as the non-Jews, they're buying similar, identical clothing. And they're shopping in the secular music stores. They're buying the same kind, they're listening to the same kind of music. And they're into the same kind of entertainment, the same forms of entertainment. Even if it's not technically crossing a line of Isur in the Torah, even if it's not eating pork, it's not violating Shabbos, etc., Rav Nosson Zal tells us, the more you're similar to them, the more you are part of them. Ve'ikar ha-bechira v'hanisoyin shel ha'odom hu bekoyach ha-medame. And the main place where a Jew is faced with the choice, with making that choice of moving closer to Hashem or away from Hashem, chas v'shalom. And the main test of a Jew is in koyach ha-medame, in everything that falls into that category of koyach ha-medame. And each and every single Jew has to work at sorting out the koyach hamedame. Levarer hatoiv sheboy shiye nichlal bagdusha ulahapil horasheboy. To be able to extract the good that's found in medame. In medame there is good. There could be clothing that a person can buy in a secular clothing store that's 100% kosher, that's something that a rabbi would wear, you know, an orthodox, good observer, and there's nothing wrong with a person buying it there. And if he can get it for $50 cheaper, you know, then even better, nothing wrong with that. So we have to look to sort out, to select out from the koyach hamedame, to take the good from there, which can plug into the kedusha, ulahapil horashaboy, and to eliminate the bad, the negative aspects of the koyach hamedame. V'alkein onu mitzuven lehizdamo isli yitzreinu yisborach. And this is why the Torah commands us and instructs us to emulate Hashem, to try to copy Hashem, to be as similar as we can to Hashem. K'meshom rabbi seinuzal, as the Gemara says, he dovek b'midoisov. Copy Hashem's character traits. Follow Hashem's midos. Mahu rachum afato rachum. Just like Hashem is kind, a Jew should be kind. Just like Hashem visits the sick. We know when Avram Avinu had a bris milah, on the third day after the bris, when the pain is strongest, the Torah says Hashem went to visit him. The Torah says a Jew is supposed to emulate Hashem. A Jew is supposed to visit the sick. And so too a Jew is supposed to try to emulate the Talmidei Chachamim, the rabbis, and to attach himself to the truly religious people, to the students of Talmidei Chachamim. Because by a person emulating and copying, trying to follow the ways of Hashem and the ways of the true tzaddikim and the religious people of the generation, Aidezeh zoichel hi kolel be'emes imohem yachad b'Hashem yisborach. Through that, he's to literally become part of them and to plug in together with them to Hashem. Ki hakol toloi bebirur hamedame, because everything depends on this birur hamedame, shehu ikar hanisoyoin v'habchira, which is the main test of a Jew, and this is where the main free choice comes in. Interesting, Rabbein Azal once told a mashal, a parable, that's very, very special and that ties in beautiful with what we're learning here. Rabbein Azal said there was a king who wanted to do a certain project, and he chose two people that were very close to him, and he said to them, I'm going to give you this project to do, I want you to decorate, I'm going to give you both a part of a room to decorate, and I want you to put everything you can into the best of the best. And I'm going to give you some money up front, $50,000. But if you do a good job, the reward for this is going to be $1 million. You're going to have a few months to work on this. And again, I'm going to come to check it when it's done. And one of them was very diligent, very serious, very intelligent. And the second the king gave him the money, he immediately went shopping. He immediately got an architect. He put everything he could into designing his part of the room, doing the most beautiful job possible. The other guy thought he's got 50 grand. The first thing he's going to do is take 50 bucks and buy himself a banana split sundae that he's been wanting to buy his whole life, but he could never afford it. He's just going to take 50 bucks off and have that special ice cream sundae that he's been waiting his whole life to have. And then he's going to start right afterwards. And then when he went shopping for the sundae, he saw next door something else. P.S. He got diverted. And days went by, and he didn't really, he figured, again, there's 3 months, there's a lot of time, you need a week to do it. I got 3 months. Sure enough, started getting close to the deadline, and he realized he was in big trouble. He saw the incredible job that the other person was doing on his part of the room, and this other guy had done nothing, or next to nothing. And he figured, it's all over. The king sees this, he'll cut him into tiny little pieces and feed him to his cat. So this guy came upon an unbelievable idea. He went out and bought mirrors, special mirrors, and these mirrors were designed in such a way that whatever was in the other half of the room, his friend's half of the room, was reflected in his half of the room. Beautiful. You could see it exactly as if it was mamish there. If you didn't know better, it would look to you. There was a couch here. The identical couch was on the other side of the room. Mirror, everything. The king came in and analyzed and saw. And then he saw what this other guy did. And his first thought was to cut him to a million pieces. But then when the king saw how perfectly this was done, And not only that, but this guy told him what I did in a certain way is even better what the other guy did, because now I'm going to save you on any further decoration that you do with this room. I'm going to save you 50% of the bill. Instead of having to buy two, you buy one, you put it in that side. Whatever is in there is automatically in my side. The king laughed. He got it. He didn't give him $1 million. The other guy got $1 million. He got maybe 100 grand, 200 grand, but he saved himself from ending up in the being cat food. Rabbein Azal says this is the concept of the tzaddik, the tzaddikim, who when they come into the world, they know the clock is ticking, and from the moment they come into the world, they're on the run. They're decorating their part of the room. They're doing mitzvahs and meisen tovim and Torah and fila, billions. The rest of us, unfortunately, often get off to a late start. And by the time we wake up and we realize what our mission in this world is, it's sort of late. And even if we would want to try to catch up, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible for us to try to amass the thousands of pages of Torah learning and tefillah and everything that the tzaddik has done. So what can we do? Rabbein Azal says a person should try to become a mirror. A person should try to attach himself to the tzaddik, to the best he possibly can, and to emulate his ways, to learn from his behavior, to copy as much as we can. This doesn't mean to just be a stupid copy. It doesn't mean in any nutty way. It means to copy whatever, to integrate whatever good I possibly can see in the tzaddik, to integrate it into my own behavior, my own way of life, and to try to do within my means, within my level, to try to emulate the tzaddik and mamish to be part of him, this hidavik. So that whatever the tzaddik does something, that I see the tzaddik give a dollar to I take out a dollar and give also to that tzaddik. Why? I don't know what the tzaddik, if he did it, that's, it must be the right thing to do. There's a story of a ger tzedek that became a kurov to Breslov in Uman. And he was incredibly sincere. And again, this is a non-Jew. He didn't know no Hebrew. He didn't know no this, no that. And they saw that when he was davening, you know, he started learning a little bit of Hebrew. When he would daven Shachris, when he'd be saying the paragraph Ahava Soilam or Ahava Rabba before Kriyashma, he would cry buckets of tears. So somebody once got up the guts to go over to him and ask him, and he said, "Hey, buddy, I know that you don't know what the words mean. What are you crying about? What? How do you get?" He said, "You're 100% right. Unfortunately, I haven't learned the translation of this yet, really, but I know that when I watched Reb Avraham Reb Nachman, I saw that when he got to this paragraph, he really turned it on. He put on high intensity." So I know that there's special stuff here. There must be a lot of special stuff here. So this is where I try to put the most feeling I can to try to arouse myself to tears and everything. This is what Rav Nosson Zal is trying to teach us here. This concept of emulating the tzaddikim, the ksherim, the religious people. That even if I don't understand everything they're doing, if I see that my rabbi, when he goes to Uman, when he comes into the kever, he goes over and gives it a kiss. So I give it a kiss. What do you mean? Do you know? What does kissing it have to do with it? You're right. I don't know. But I saw him do it. It must be the right thing to do. Person kisses their tefillin, kisses it. So I know that's the right thing to do. I see that he's standing. He's not sitting down. There must be a reason. For now, until I know the reason, if he's the... I'm going to do it. Now, again, there definitely could be mistakes in this because there are certain things that a person is not allowed to, you know, try to be something he's not, in quotes. And it's not supposed to be done in a silly way. It's being done with a pure simplicity and sincerity, this gives Hashem tremendous nachas.